And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio, the podcast version of The Awakening. Glad to be with you again today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support, not only of The Awakening and yours truly, but thank you for your support of American Family Radio. I think all of you who have listened to me a while know how much I value this outlet. And I just think it becomes more important every single day as we see the level of bias that exists in the media. And again, not to take anything away from the conservative outlets that are out there, or at least giving a platform to conservatives. But, you know, conservatism and Christian conservatism are not quite the same. Okay? You see that in people like Adam Kinzinger, who claimed to be a Christian, claimed to be a conservative, I should say. And you see how he has done a 180-degree turn. The same thing is true with Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney as well. So there are lots of people who claim to be conservatives, but what is their conservatism rooted and grounded in? If it is not rooted and grounded in faith in Jesus Christ, in God's word, in submission to Almighty God, it cannot be trusted. Which is why American Family Radio is truly a conservative outlet, because our orientation begins with the truth of God's word, the truth of who he is. And that gives our conservatism a rock solid foundation. You know, I was teaching recently on Psalm 112, and in Psalm 112, it says that the one who delights himself in the commandments of the Lord, who fears God and delights himself greatly in his commandments, it says he is never shaken, because his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. Never shaken, meaning just because some child, God forbid, or some relative says, well, you know, I've got a different view now on same-sex marriage, I think it's really okay, he doesn't say, well, you know, actually, now that my niece, my nephew, my son, my daughter, now that they've got a different perspective, I'm kind of rethinking it too. No, you can't rethink it. You love them, you pray for them, but you can't change your position, because you know your position is not based on your whimsical ideas and opinions. It is based on the rock solid foundation of God's word. And therefore, it is not subject to alteration. So praise God for all of you. Praise God for American Family Radio and the management and staff and all the people who work so hard to make sure that you hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. So continue to pray for us. Make a contribution. You don't have to wait for Share-a-thon. God may lay it on your heart sometime, just to, out of just sheer appreciation and gratitude. So, you know, I'm just going to send in a contribution to American Family Radio. And believe me, folks, I have been asked to do this. This just comes out of the sincerity of my heart. Because remember, as a former candidate for president and as someone who has been in the media a lot, I know what that censorship feels like. I told you all about YouTube telling me, we can't monetize your account because your content is harmful. What? Harmful how? Now, well, you know, promoting pedophilia, that's not harmful. And pornography, oh no, that's not harmful. And all kinds of other vile garbage that they put on. Some of this nasty, vicious rap music, oh no, that's not harmful. But what E.W. Jackson says, now that is harmful. We've really got to watch that, because, ooh, somebody might even believe what he says. And you know, this stuff of believing in God and putting faith in God's word. Oh, that's, we can't have that no matter what. Would that is absolutely the worst thing that could ever happen. I mean, that's their perspective, folks. And so praise God for an opportunity to come and bring you commentary on the issues of the day, rooted and grounded in God's word. You know, Psalm 11:3 asks the question, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? Restore, rebuild the foundations. And the foundations of our nation are under attack. My goodness, the foundations of the church, for that matter, are under attack. And so you've got a lot of churches all around the country that call themselves churches. The word church comes from the word kurios, as you all know, the Greek word that is used in the New Covenant, the New Testament, which means the Lord. And the word church comes from that root Greek word kurios, or later came down through the Old English, German and Old English as kurk or kurke, with a ch now substituting for the k. And so the name Kirk really isn't, if you know somebody named Kirk, they probably know it, but their name really means church. But the word church actually means the people of the Lord. That's what it means, the people of the Lord. It doesn't mean a building. I know we think, not you, but a lot of people think when they say church, they think building. But the word church has nothing to do with the building. Because remember, for the first 300 years of the church's existence, the church didn't even have buildings for the most part, because it was outlawed. It was an outlaw group. So they met in homes and outdoors and wherever they could find a convenient place and a safe place to meet. So the kurike, the kurk, the church is the people of the Lord. And you got a lot of things running around calling themselves churches. They're not the people of the Lord. Really, they're the people of the devil, because they don't believe anything the word of God says. They'll bless baby killing clinics that they call abortion clinics. They'll bring into these buildings two homosexuals and marry them, claim that they're marrying them, and somehow those aren't the people of the Lord, because they're engaged in blasphemous activity. That is blasphemy. That is an offense against God. So God bless each and every one of you, and praise God for American Family Radio, where I can say things here, for example, that, you know, even a lot of conservative outlets, they would not want me saying them. Well, you know, our audience doesn't really, that's not what they're interested in. Well, Christians are. And so praise God, we've got a place to share it with you. All right, I got a number of things to talk about in the time that I've got with you. So you all be praying for me. The first thing I want to acknowledge is this week, just a couple of days ago, and of course we're going to commemorate this every year, thank God. We commemorated the third anniversary of what has come to be called Abbeygate, you know, which is the bombing that killed 13 of our brave troops that were there, assigned by the Biden administration to help with the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. And now we are all entirely familiar with the debacle that happened there, depending upon the Taliban to protect our people, not doing it or at least not maintaining Bagram Air Force Base, which they were told, even by some of the military experts, even some of those liberals were told, hold on to that, because that's a much more secure place from which to effectuate a withdrawal and to effectuate the extract of people, getting them out of the country. And it also provides a tremendous haven of protection for those who are left behind, those who are going to, in the future, need to be getting out of there, who may not make that first withdrawal. And of course, we now know, had it not been for private groups going in there rescuing Americans, there would have been a bunch of Americans left. And I guarantee you, there are a lot of Americans who were killed and just left behind because of the debacle that this administration engaged in this so-called withdrawal. 13 brave troops lost their lives. They were from the Marines and from a variety of different backgrounds. I want to read their names because I really believe that we should never forget them. We should honor them. These people put their lives on the line for us, and in this case, they lost their lives in doing so. Sergeant Giovanni Rosario Picardo, 25, of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Sergeant Nicole L. Gee, 23, of Sacramento, California. Staff Sergeant Darren T. Hoover, 31, of Salt Lake City, Utah. Corporal Hunter Lopez, 22, of Indio, California. Corporal Dagan W. Page, 23, of Omaha, Nebraska. Corporal Humberto A. Sanchez, 22, of Logansport, Indiana. Lance Corporal David L. Espinoza, 20, of Rio Bravo, Texas. Lance Corporal Jared M. Schmitz, 20, of St. Charles, Missouri. Lance Corporal Riley J. McCollum, 20, of Jackson, Wyoming. Lance Corporal Dylan R. Marola, 20, of Rancho Cucamonga, California. Lance Corporal Kareem N. Nakui, 20, of Norco, California. Navy Corpsman Maxton W. Soviak, 22, of Berlin Heights, Ohio. Staff Sergeant Ryan C. Naus, 23, of Corryton, Tennessee. 13 brave troops. We honor them. We pray for their families. And we thank God that we still produce people who are willing to put their lives on the line in behalf of our liberty. Now let us pray that we have leadership that honors their lives and does not needlessly put their lives at risk because of incompetence or just sheer lack of concern for the well-being of our people. And the way that whole thing was handled between leaving Americans behind, leaving Afghanis who had really put their lives on the line trying to help our people in Afghanistan, leaving behind some $80 billion in our military equipment, which, as you all know, the Taliban has paraded through the streets bragging about all this equipment that they now have that the Americans left behind. I mean, it was just a debacle through and through. But none of that diminishes the sacrifice that those 13 made, and we so appreciate what they did for us by putting on that uniform and going into harm's way. And I just pray that our country will never lose its ability to produce such people, because if it's up to the left, we will never produce such people again. I was talking to a fellow minister, and we were talking about the fact that you've got people of that age. These are all young people. They are of college age. Well, you got 23, 22, 20, 20, 20, 22. I mean, you got all but one of these people, maybe 125, 131. All the rest of them are of college age, or barely, just barely beyond college, maybe graduate school, if they were in the civilian world. And we sent people like that to storm the beaches of Normandy. We sent people that age to Vietnam, and they went and behaved courageously. And now we're teaching them that they need puppy therapy, and they need crying rooms, and they need safe spaces, and all this nonsense. Emasculating men. Oh, you're a man. You want to talk about courage. You want to talk about, being aggressive in defending your country. That's toxic masculinity. Don't talk that way. Oh, my goodness gracious. I've said many times, folks, and I know that President Trump has his flaws, of course, because we all do. And it would be silly to act as if he doesn't. Of course he does. But I really did think one of the left's problems with President Trump is his masculinity. I think he's got a little too much manhood for them. They don't like manhood. Because you see, manhood speaks of independence, of strength, of courage, of honor, of an integrity. And I'm not saying women can't have these qualities, but you understand what I'm saying. Manhood speaks of the willingness to actually fight if necessary, for the things that you believe in and the people whom you are duty bound to serve or to protect. And they don't like that because they want everybody weak. They want everybody dependent. They want everybody looking to them for their sustenance. They don't want anybody thinking independently, and they don't want anybody thinking that you can do anything independent of the almighty government. That's the way tyrants think. That's the way totalitarianists think. That's not the way free people in the constitutional republic, in this constitutional republic, think. So God bless these men and women who showed such courage and gave their last full measure of devotion, as Abraham Lincoln once put it. And God bless those Gold Star families, not just those 13, but those Gold Star families all over this country who've lost loved ones in harm's way. God bless all of them. We pray for them and we thank them for their willingness to support their loved one in going into places that most people don't ever want to set foot in, and doing things that most human beings never want to be asked to do or to have to do. But they've gone those places, they've done those things, they've had to face the unspeakable in our behalf, and we honor them. That's something the entire country ought to unite around, but you won't see the left or the Democrat Party doing anything. I mean, they put out a couple statements, but you don't see them going out of their way to really honor these families and to talk to them and to get their perspective and to ask. No, because they're not interested. They're just not interested. Look, it brings me back to a theme, and there's some other things I want to get to, but let's just review this for a second. When power is your God, people are merely your pawns. Okay, have you heard me say, when power is your God, anything goes? Well, here's an additional quote. When power is your God, people are your pawns. They're not of any interest to you. When power is your God, except insofar as they allow you to get and keep power. And so they don't have any value in and of themselves. You don't respect their humanity. You don't respect their human dignity. The only thing you are interested in regard to them is, what can they do for you? That's it. So this is why you get under these Democrat administrations the mistreatment of our troops. You all remember when Obama was president, I remember him giving a speech with a Marine holding an umbrella over his head because it was raining. What? First of all, if I may say, it takes a sissified man to be afraid to stand in the rain and speak, number one. I mean, what are you, some kind of Nancy? You might get wet. And number two, to have a Marine stay, I believe this Marine might have been in dress blues, don't hold me to that, but I'm just going by my recollection. But to have a Marine who is trained for combat, trained to fight for this country, standing like a butler, but that's the way they think, because they don't care about him or his dignity or the honor that he is due as a trained fighter in behalf of the liberty of this nation and his people. He is nothing but a butler. He's just a little peon. Yeah, you come over here, hold an umbrella over my head so I don't get wet. Ugh, disgusting. So it should not surprise us that they don't go out of their way to respect the sacrifice that these families have made. They did the same thing with the victims of illegal illegal aliens and invaders who kill our people. Same thing. They don't want to get near it. because they don't care about the family and the loved ones that they've lost. They don't care about Lake and Riley. They don't care about any of these people. Because to acknowledge that would be to acknowledge that they're playing a very vicious and hard-hearted game with the lives of other people, and they don't care about that unless it is helping to advance their agenda. And if it's not, go pound sand as far as they're concerned. They're not interested. Oh, you're heartbroken? Too bad. You lost a young child, a daughter, a son? Too bad. What is that compared to the great utopia we are creating for America? You're just a grain of sand. You're just a broken egg. And it's worth making an omelet with your life in order to do this great thing that we are charged to do. I mean, that's the way communists think. That's the way Marxists think. Because they place no value on human life anyway. Because they don't believe that we're created in the image and likeness of God. They don't believe that God knows and loves every one of us. They don't have that orientation. You are nothing but a piece of flesh, a piece of meat. And if you're in the way and you get cut down as a result, too bad. Moving on, stepping on to the next piece of meat. This next piece of meat that I may need to step on to be a stepping stone. That's the way they think. So, but we honor those people who are willing to sacrifice for us and are willing to give their all for us, because you better believe these people aren't putting on a uniform so that Joe Biden can live in a mansion. They're not putting on a uniform so that Barack Obama can have an umbrella held over his head. They're putting on a uniform so that you and I can be free. I know that's why I put mine on. That's why I raised my hand and took an oath in the United States Marine Corps. It certainly wasn't to prop up some preening, effete man who, you know, thinks that the world should be bowing at his feet. It was to uphold my oath to the Constitution and to serve the American people. Of course, the president was my commander in chief, and I was going to prepare to obey orders. All I'm saying is that some of these approaches and uses of the military bespeak complete lack of respect for who they are and what they do. And I've talked to military people. I can't say names, of course, because I'm talking about people on active duty who tell me, I want to be trained to do my job, and they're sending me to these classes where I can learn how I'm supposed to talk about homosexuals and or to homosexuals and gender confused people. That's my training now. You got to learn how to use the right pronouns. That's a big part of the military these days. I mean, really? I'll tell you what. When somebody is aiming a rifle at you, or somebody is coming at you and you've got to face hand-to-hand combat because you've been thrust into that situation, you better believe they don't care about what pronoun you use. I mean, this stuff is just utterly ridiculous, folks. Okay, all right, well, got that out of the way. Enough said about that. Thank all of you families, all of you active duty, all of you retired and just veterans of the United States Armed Forces, I thank you all. I don't need to wait until Memorial Day or Veterans Day to do that. I thank you all now because I am deeply grateful, and I know the American people share this overwhelmingly with me. We are deeply grateful for your service. I said that these folks, these leftists, don't care about you or me or the American people. They care about power and their agenda. Well, Mark Zuckerberg has now come out, really for the first time in a full-throated way, and it makes me wonder, something going on in Mark Zuckerberg's head. I don't know. I'm assuming, and forgive me if I'm wrong about this, that Mark Zuckerberg is Jewish. I'm assuming that, and I don't know whether all of this anti-Semitism is giving him second thoughts when he sees the same people who support Trump are the people who stand up for the Jewish people and stand up for Israel, and the people who don't support Trump, the people who support this other abomination of a ticket, that those people are busy making excuses for all of this hatred and anti-Semitism and utter disdain for our most, our single most important ally in the Middle East, and one of our single most important allies in the world, Israel. I'm speculating now, and I know that. I just wonder, because, you know, this suddenly, yeah, he's admitting, we were pressured by the United States government to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story. We were pressured by the United States government to suppress that story. And he now regrets having done so. He said, you know, in hindsight, I wish we had done something differently. Now, you can make of that what you will. You and I already knew that, right? What is somewhat surprising, and I don't know whether we can believe it, that he's now acting like he acknowledges that it was the wrong thing to do. Because as far as I'm concerned, the guy's a leftist and was probably only too happy to suppress a story that he thought, if exposed, might help Donald Trump win. Right? But he seems to be expressing a different point of view. Look, I'll take it at face value and see what it means. But here's the most important thing for me. It's not what Mark Zuckerberg thinks or doesn't think. And I'm speculating about if he is having a change of heart, why that might be. But this is what I know. This I can speak about without speculation. When the United States government takes it upon itself to tell a private company what it can and cannot print, not with regard to national security, I can understand going to an outlet and saying, look, a secret has been exposed, you've gotten a hold of it, it could threaten the security of the United States of America, we are asking you not. Okay, that's rational, that's reasonable. And then, you know, we can have a debate about when it might be appropriate to say, okay, that is a story that should be held. But this has nothing to do with that. This is strictly about protecting the political backside of Joe Biden, who by implication has been bought lock, stock, and barrel by the communist Chinese. And the polling data has shown that it would have changed the votes of many people had they known what was on that laptop. Because Hunter Biden implicated his father in a kickback scheme, telling his families, I'm not going to be like my dad and ask you to give me 50% of your pay. And we know 10% of this goes to the big guy. But don't mention his name. Don't acknowledge who it is. It's crooked. It's corrupt. And the American people are not stupid, no matter how much the leftists think we are. We're not stupid. And the American people know there's no way in the world Hunter Biden was engaged in all of this, all of these transactions and deals with foreign governments. And Joe Biden, his father, knew nothing about it. I mean, come on. I might have been born during the day, but I wasn't born yesterday. And neither were you. Maybe you were born in the night, but you weren't born last night. But they expect us to buy into this. But in the meantime, they're behind the scenes violating the First Amendment rights of the American people. And remember, we heard this a lot. And every time we heard it, I debunked it. When I was on the radio daily, I would say, I hear people say, yeah, but these are private companies. The First Amendment doesn't apply. And I would say, no, 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 no. You are wrong. This is a case of the first impression, meaning we've never had anything like this. This is not like whether the government's trying to stop J.P. Morgan or Rockefeller or somebody from talking about what the government wants them to do in terms of the steel production or whatever it is they're making, whatever it is they're doing. It's not the same. This is talking about the government stepping in and telling a company that is in the free speech business what can and cannot be heard, what may and may not be heard by the American people. Folks, that is so different than anything we've known before. Not that the government hasn't done this before, obviously. I'm not suggesting that. But there's never been an outlet. There have never been outlets like these big tech outlets that are reaching not hundreds of thousands, not even millions of people, but billions of people. Billions of people. And the government steps in and says, we don't want you to say that because that's not convenient. That's Stalin-esque. And yet, that's what our government did. Now, you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. These people don't care about the Constitution of the United States. In fact, truth be told, they don't like the Constitution of the United States because the Constitution gets in their way. And people like you and me cite the Constitution, say, hey, you can't do that. You are violating the Constitution. And they don't want to hear it. But behind our backs, with all kinds of denials, we now know the truth. You and I knew it anyway, no matter what they denied. We knew it. They were engaged in the trampling of the First Amendment liberties of the American people. Now, folks, again, that is the stuff of tyrants and totalitarianists. That is not how a constitutional republic is supposed to operate. And yet, that's how we found our government operating. I said, these folks don't care what's good for the American people. You know, I've been reading this book by Kevin Freeman. I don't know whether you have heard of it or you're familiar with it. If you are not, I would really suggest that you get familiar with this book and with Kevin Freeman's call, According to Plan. According to Plan, subtitle, The Pigs Today. I'm sorry, subtitle. There's a whole section entitled The Pigs Today, but subtitle, The Elite's Secret Plan to Sabotage America. That's the subtitle for the whole book, The Elite's Secret Plan to Sabotage America. Folks, he reminded me of something that I'd forgotten. Maybe you had not, but I had. Do you know, not only did Biden kill our energy independence, did away with that on day one, killed the Keystone Pipeline, blocked many of the leases that companies had for drilling for oil, put a stop to a lot of the regulatory opportunities that Donald Trump had created that would allow businesses with leases to move forward, because, you know, having the lease is just one step in the process. You know, there are also licenses involved with actually drilling once you get the lease. So the lease is not the end of the process. The lease is just the beginning. So all of these regulations that Trump had removed to allow for drilling, to allow the production of natural energy in our country, oil, gas. The Biden administration reinstituted all of these and literally stopped up the spigot. And you all remember what happened when the oil prices began to go up. He had to dip into our oil reserves. But I was reminded by Kevin Freeman in this book, he actually sold some of our oil reserves, depleted, I think, to the lowest level. I know it's in decades, but he actually lowered some of our oil reserves and sold some of that to communist China. Now, I ask you, does that sound like somebody who's working for the American people? I would love to have somebody ask him, why would you sell our oil to communist China? Why would you deplete our oil reserves and give it to an adversary at best, in reality, an enemy? Why would you do that? What would be the explanation? I can tell you what the explanation is. The explanation is $10, $20, $30 million funneled to his family through Hunter Biden by communist China, and maybe even billions. Because remember the deal that he cut when he went to communist China with Biden as vice president was a $1.5 billion investment deal for somebody who had absolutely no expertise for this. But that was the deal he cut for $1.5 billion. Is there anybody who is honest with themselves who thinks that these people actually have our interests at heart? If you believe that, you are either stupid, and I don't mean to be insulting when I say that. I mean, just really just stupid. You just, you know, you just... What can I say? You are functionally illiterate. And somebody told you that, oh yeah, they're looking out for us. And you say, okay, yeah. Or you are just spiritually deceived, which I think is the more likely scenario for most people. For most people who buy into this stuff, you are spiritually deceived. I mean, this is a reminder to us, folks, that we're not dealing with merely a political battle. We are in a spiritual war. The truth versus lies, good versus evil, righteousness versus wickedness, light versus darkness. That's really the nature of this battle. It's playing out on the political battlefield, but it is really a spiritual war. And it is a war, as I said at the beginning of the program, it is a war to destroy those foundations so that you can lay a new foundation, and that new foundation is Marxism, socialism, collectivism. That new foundation is tribalism, racism, to tell you the truth, that new foundation is slavery. With everybody dependent upon them. You all know that Klaus Schwab and George Soros and this whole World Economic Forum crowd, you've heard, right, them espouse this idea that in the brave new world that they want to create, nobody will own anything. Well, you won't need to, because they'll own everything and you'll be dependent upon them for everything. And folks, there's only one accurate word that captures that. It's slavery. You know, I never cease to be amazed that these leftists are so fixated on the slavery of America, which was a universal institution, by the way. Slavery occurred all over the world, every continent, every people, among every group, slavery existed. It was the norm, not the exception. But they're so fixated on the slavery that ended in America over 150 years ago that they don't see the slavery that is right before their very eyes, because that's all that socialism and Marxism is. It is slavery by a different name. Except it makes everybody a slave to the state, except for the elites who run the system. They have the best of everything. In Kevin Freeman's book, he talks about, you know, and you've heard me talk about it, that the revolutionary claims of, we're going to make everyone equal, and we're going to do away with all these rich people who have too much, and we're going to make sure that everybody is treated equitably. Equity, equity, equity. We're going to make sure that, you know, and all they really end up doing is making everybody equally miserable except themselves, and then they get everything they want. And he lays out Castro, I live off of $36 a month. And if you believe that, I got a great big old bridge, I'll say, in Brooklyn. Castro had private yachts, private planes, several homes all over Cuba. Castro used the women of Cuba as his own sex slaves. And every other tyrant does all the same things. Putin is doing it. Kim Il-sung is doing it. Xi Jinping is doing it. You name it. You name the tyrant. Claiming we're going to make everybody equal. And we're, yeah, right. First of all, it is impossible in this imperfect world to do that, number one. And number two, the free market principles of capitalism, at the very least, while they're not going to make everybody equally rich and they're not going to make everybody the same, at least give everybody an opportunity to get in on the abundance, which is why our country has raised the standard of living for the average person higher than any other place in the world. Which is why when they talk about that top 20%, oh, that top 20%, that top 10%, but they don't ever talk about the fact that that top 20% is fluid. I began my life as a foster child, probably in the lowest one percentile. I'm not there anymore. No, I'm not a billionaire, but I'm not there anymore. Because in our country, economic opportunity abounds, and the economic scales are fluid. People are moving up. People in the top are sometimes moving down, depending on choices they make, decisions they make. It's not perfect, no. But I think Winston Churchill coined this, it's the worst system in the world, except for all the others. We have got a job on our hands here. I want to end the program today with a solemn warning and a prayer for our country, and I'm almost out of time here. Good friend of mine, who runs the Public Interest Law Center, I'll come back to, well, has discovered that there are people on the voter rolls. And he's doing these kinds of investigations all the time. Christian Adams, I thought of his first name, his last name was slipping my mind, Christian Adams. There are people on the voter rolls with addresses that are not valid. They claim to be residential addresses, they're to addresses that don't exist, they're to addresses that are businesses where these people don't even work. They're just made up addresses, but they're on the voter rolls. And this is particularly true in states where they're going to be sending out voter guides. to these addresses, and to some extent, to in some cases, to addresses that do exist. And what is this all about? Why are we discovering all this? There, folks, let's make no mistake about it. There's going to be an effort to steal this election. Just look, let's just, when you're dealing with people who have absolutely no absolute ethical and moral standards, see, you and I would not try to steal the election, even if we thought that the outcome would be a disaster, we would cheat to steal it. I trust you wouldn't, I wouldn't, because I got to answer to God. I'm not going to lie and cheat to get something done. I believe if this is what God wants for me, and I have faith, and I pray, and I work, faith without works is dead, God's going to work that thing out. And if it doesn't work out quite the way I want, God's still ultimately in charge of my life, and God is ultimately going to get the victory for all of those who stand with him. But I'm not going to do sinful, inglorious things to get what I think I'm supposed to have or what I think is supposed to happen. But they don't have those compunctions. They're like all the Marxists who've gone before them. They think that their vision is so grand and so great and so utopian that lying, stealing, cheating. And yes, history has shown that even killing is not too high a price to pay to give the people what they really need, even if they don't know that they need it. We better be prepared to be vigilant at these polls and to be prayerful before we get there. Christians have got to come together and vote like our lives depend on it, because they do. Christians have got to be vigilant at these polls. We've got to not just be watchers at the polls, but we've got to be workers in the polls so that we watch everything that goes on. And yes, folks, we've got to demand that we get rid of all these cockamamie machines and go back to paper ballots. They can be counted by machines, but paper ballots that people have to fill out and turn in by name. Get rid of this ballot harvesting and all this other stuff. In the meantime, look, we got to take advantage of everything that's out there. So if that's what we're stuck with, work that system. But ultimately, we got to get rid of all of that so that we can be certain that the outcome of the election is in fact what the people willed, not what the leftists cheated to obtain. So I'm going to close out then with a brief word of prayer for our nation and for the upcoming elections as we contemplate the spiritual war that we are in. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful country of ours, the United States of America. But Lord, we know that your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that means curses the nation whose God is not. And there are forces at work in this country that want to wrench us away from you and wrench the country and our culture away from you and have it rest on a different foundation instead of a foundation of faith in God, a family, of liberty, individual liberty. They wanted to rest on a foundation of Marxism and socialism and collectivism and racial identity and sexual perversion and destroying the lives of unborn babies. They have an entirely different vision for this nation than one of a nation that is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values and principles. Help us, Lord, to save this nation from those who would destroy it as we know it, from the wicked who would turn this nation into hell, according to Psalm 9:17. Now, Lord God, we do pray that Christians would rise up, unite as believers, not only get out and vote, that's the basic, that's the minimum, but get active in their communities, run for school board, run for city council, run for mayor, work at the polls, become officials in the polls, become election officials, and watch diligently to make sure that our elections are being conducted with integrity. Because, Lord God, we believe that there are forces at work that don't really care what the American people want. They're going to give the American people what they think the American people need, whether they like it or not. And Lord, we want the first three words of the Constitution to be honored. We the people, not we the privileged, we the pundits, we the prognosticators, but we the people. We thank you, Lord, in advance for victory, because we believe we're going to have a great victory, and that Donald Trump will be elected President of the United States, and that his first and foremost principle will be to honor you. Oh God, how important that is. Give us leadership all across this land that honors you, because we are a people who want to rejoice. And you said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. You said, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And we are in a period of mourning right now because of the wicked who are trying to rule over this nation. And Lord, you said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you said, righteousness exalts a nation. And we want to America to be exalted in the right way. We thank you and praise you again for victory in this situation. And we give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody. See you next time.